Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Do You Speak Credit when we come back. Hey, are you concerned about your privacy? Well, how much does your government know about you anyway, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, believe it or not, government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself. And that's because everything that government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment does, in fact, protect you in your person, houses, papers, and effects, but it does not protect you from yourself. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? Well, you bet we can. And that's because information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. But it's knowing how this information is gathered and what information is stored and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you that you haven't revealed by your own hand or your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for my free general law CD package. Now, that's a 4-hour program. It's entertaining, informative, educational, and free. That's the best part, free of charge. And you can call and order yours by simply calling 417-273-4967 and ask for it. It's just that simple, area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine when you get to the website. And then send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about this thing of do you speak credit. Credit is a language. Credit is a ripoff. Credit is designed to lie to you and to steal from you. There's no other purpose for credit. And Americans line up to be lied to and stolen from. They love it. They don't like the results, but they sure like the high. It's kind of like a dope addict, you know? He doesn't like the side effects, but God, he really likes the dope itself. And being able to say no, you know, they've got this campaign that says to drugs, you know, just say no to drugs. You know, we'll just say no to credit. And that's because credit is a bad buy. It's a bad product. Credit. It's a bad product. Now, most of you listening to me right now, more than half of you right now listening to me, would not think of putting a $20 bill on the pass line on a crap table. And yet, your chances of winning on the crap table are better than winning with a credit card. In fact, a $20 bill on the pass line will only take 0.5% on average from you, but your credit card, when you spend $20, is going to take, on average, 14%. In addition to the purchase price, 14%. So the crap table is a hell of a lot better bet than a credit card. I mean, that's just the numbers. Now, of course, most people go to public school and they can't add and subtract. They sure as hell can't do percentages and they don't know what the numbers are. So let's take a look at some of these numbers. Let me show you why it is that we're dealing with criminals who are stealing from you. Now, when I was a kid back in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, 6% interest was the norm. as inflation heated up in the 1960s, they started raising the inflation rate, the interest rate to keep up with inflation. So as the years went by the end of the 1970s, the interest rate, and this is the Federal Reserve raising interest rates to 21%. 21% interest was pretty common in 1979 and 80. Now, they used to tell us when I was a kid that anything more than 6% interest was usury, and usury was a crime against God. It was a crime. And we used to have usury laws in this country. I don't think we've got them anymore. But we used to. We sure don't have them in this state. I told you the other day about these car title loans. 9.9% interest a month, 118% interest a year. I don't know what usury is, but I sure know what 118% interest is. I showed you those numbers here the other day. Well, the time was when I was a kid, if somebody would have charged the way American Express or Discover or Bank America or Citicorp, if any of those companies had charged the kind of interest that they're charging today, 14, 18, 28, 32, 35, 118% interest, they would have all been thrown in San Quentin as criminals. They would have been convicted and thrown in prison for doing what they're doing today. Today, Americans accept interest and credit cards and usury as if it was, well, after all, we were born with it. We've lived with it all of our lives. So it isn't something that's outrageous. It's kind of like going back in time to 1900. Did you know that in America, men and women could not use the same beach for public bathing in 1900? Why, today, you know, you're walking down the beach and the women are walking up and down the beach and don't have anything on. Men have more to cover themselves up without anything to cover their chest than women have, trying to cover their chests and their bottoms. And we accept it today. The morality of 1900 compared to the morality of 2000 is like day and night. And the same thing has happened with interest. And it's the old story of the camel sticking his nose into the tent. You know, after a while, you get used to the fact that the camel has his nose in the tent. Pretty soon, the camel sticks his head in. Okay, so we're used to the camel. He's had his nose in here for a long time. Pretty soon, the camel sticks his head in. So, okay, we're used to the camel. In his head is in our tent. And pretty soon he sticks his neck in. Well, you know, we're used to the camel's nose. We're used to the camel's head. Why not the camel's neck? And pretty soon the camel's front shoulders come into the tent. And, well, we're used to the camel's nose, the camel's head, the camel's neck. Why not the camel's shoulders? And pretty soon half the camel comes into the tent. Well, shucks, we've been living with the camel's nose, the camel's head, the camel's neck, the camel's shoulders. Why not half the camel? Pretty soon the camel comes into the tent and pushes you out into the rainstorm or out into the sandstorm. And you say, I've been living with this camel for so long, I knew it was just a matter of time until they took the tent. And that's where we're at with credits, where we're at with morals. Well, the other day I got a letter from American Express, and I thought I'd go through this American Express letter. And I'm not picking on American Express per se, it's just that they sent me a hell of a neat invitation. And I thought I'd share it with you. My wife asked me after I'd read the letter, she said, are you going to get an American Express card? And I said, quote, only a moron would sign that contract. Now, I'm sure a lot of you listening to me today have an American Express card and you signed a contract just like this. Now, let me repeat those words again. As old George Bush said, you know, watch my lips. I said to my wife, only a moron would sign that contract. Well, I should qualify that by saying after he read it. Now, there's not much to the contract. I mean, this contract is on less than 8.5 by 11. The piece of paper I got here is about 8.5 by 14. It might be a little longer than 14 inches. It's a pretty long piece of paper here. And it's got some advertising. It's got some big bold letters on it. And then it's got some fine print on it. But that's all right. I've got my 10-power loop glasses on right now. And I'm going to read this contract to you. And I'm going to go through and I'm going to explain each clause in the contract. I'm going to make an editorial comment as we progress along. So get your pencil sharpened on both ends. Get your piece of paper out there. And let's take a few notes here on an American Express business credit card offer and application. It's addressed to the Gordon Law School. It's not addressed to George Gordon. It's addressed to the Gordon Law School. It's a business card. And it says right on the card, American Express Business. So this isn't for George Gordon, the sole proprietor, the individual. This is for a commercial business called the Gordon Law School. Now, I want to tell you right now, the Gordon Law School is not a commercial business. It's a private business. It's not open to the public. Never has been. So, if I were to fill this card out, or fill out this application and send it in, it would be the prima facie evidence used by the IRS in a tax case against me to prove that I'm operating a commercial business and I don't have a taxpayer ID number and I'm not filing paying my taxes. So, coming right out of the chute, when I look at this as a matter of law, I say, oh, this thing is a... It is a poison snake that's packaged here in a bag, and as soon as I open the bag and stick my hand in, I'm going to get bit. And it says earn 5,000 membership rewards. It's not 5,000 membership points. It's not 5,000 membership thingies over here. It's rewards. Now, I'm going to underline that word reward because that's what I want to hear. And remember, this is called a tender offer. They are tendering me an offer. I'm going to reject this offer. But when somebody tenders an offer to you, if you accept any of the benefits associated with the tender, it's the same as if you'd signed the contract, accepting the benefits. So I'm not going to accept any benefits. I'm not going to sign the contract. But I'm going to be alert to the little buzzwords that they're going to put in here. Membership. In other words, I'm going to become a member, and I'm going to be rewarded for being a member. Now, that's a subliminal message that's being sent to me. They're sending me a subliminal message, and they're saying, you're going to become a member. And all of us want to be members. You want to be members. That's why you joined your church, because you wanted to be a member, not just a visitor, but a member. Now, you get unlimited points. Boy, I want to hear that. Unlimited points. I can get points and points and points, and there's no limit to how many points I can get. Now, what's that appealing to? It appeals to my vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Now, with specificity, they're appealing to greed. Unlimited points. Now, when they call me a member, and they're going to give me rewards, they're appealing to my lust, and they're appealing to my vanity. I get to be a member of this exclusive business club. There's no preset spending limit. No preset spending limit. Now, the card's got a limit on it of $5,000. That actually is a lie. There is a spending limit. Right there. Now, it's fee-free for the first year, so I don't have to pay them a membership fee for the first year, and that fee-free for the first year is also a subliminal message. The subliminal message is if it's fee-free, that is, you don't have to pay the membership, you don't have to pay the interest on it either, and that's not the offer. They're not offering me a card with no interest. They're offering me a card with no fee. Now, they're letting me assume facts that are not in evidence. And so they're encouraging me to assume that, because that's what I want to believe, that there is no interest on this card, at least for the first year. And then a save on purchases with Open Savings Partners. So I'm going to save on my purchases if I use this card instead of cash. Now, I've already pointed that out to you. If I walk into a merchant and I hand him this card, the merchant has to pay the American Express people 5%. So when I go in and buy a $100 pair of shoes, the merchant has to pay $5 to American Express out of that $100. So he's going to net $95. Well, I already showed you, if I offered the merchant $95, I could take that $5 myself. The mere fact that the merchant accepts American Express is to make it convenient for debtors, that is, people that don't have cash, poor people that need to borrow. People who borrow and use credit cards are poor people. Rich people don't have to have credit cards. Although rich people do have them, they don't need them because they've got money. All right, now going on here, he says, "Dear business owner, as your business spending adds up, so can your choice of rewards, because the American Express Business Green Rewards card allows you to earn membership rewards points that you can use to fly on 21 major airlines, stay at hundreds of superb hotels and resorts around the world, shop for digital cameras, designer bags, and mountain bikes," and the list goes on and on. Pause, you know, put her on pause right here. "I can fly on 21 major airlines." No, I can't. I don't have any state-issued identification. I can't fly on any airline. I can't fly on any airline in the United States of America. Now, maybe I could fly on one from Qantas or maybe from BOAC or somebody, but no airline in this country is going to let me even get close to an airplane. I don't have state-issued identification. So the card is of no value to me in that regard. "Then I can stay at hundreds of superb hotels and resorts around the world." Well, if I went around the world, I guess I could stay at them, but I don't travel around the world, so I guess I don't need this card to travel around the world. And if I did travel around the world, I'll bet you that those same hotels would take $100 American U.S. currency. Or they would take euro currency or Swiss francs or something else. "And then I could shop for digital cameras, designer bags, and mountain bikes," and the list goes on and on. You mean I can't shop for digital cameras, designer bags, and mountain bikes with cash in my hand? I mean, come on, boys and girls, let's grow up and get real here. They go on to tell me that what's more, we'll start you out with 5,000 bonus points, giving you the opportunity to redeem for rewards faster. Boy, that's an important statement. It's in big, bold letters, too. "What's more, we'll start you out with 5,000 bonus points. I'm going to get 5,000 bonus points. That's another subliminal message. And that's because each one of these bonus points is equal to $1. Every time I spend a dollar with my American Express business card, I get one bonus point. And so I automatically equate a dollar with a bonus point. I think that they're giving me $5,000. That's the subliminal message. They're not giving me $5,000. They're going to give me 5,000 bonus points, and they don't tell me how much these bonus points are worth. They're probably worth less than 1 mil, which would be 1,000th of a penny. So if they're going to give me 5,000 bonus points and they're worth 1,000th of a cent, they're going to give me 5,000 1,000th of a cent, 5 cents, a nickel. They're going to start me off with a nickel. Maybe it's worth a mil. Maybe it's worth 1/100th of a cent. I don't know. They didn't say. And they don't say in any of this offer what these bonus points are. But I can get free airline tickets with these bonus points. Well, that's true. If I had 1 million bonus points, if I went out and spent $1 million on my American Express card and then paid them 18% interest on the unpaid balance for years and years and years, I could probably earn enough bonus points to get me an airline ticket to take me from Chicago to New York. Probably. But instead of spending $1 million and spending $180,000 in interest, why don't I just spend $300 and buy the damn ticket and be done with it? That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take the $300 and go buy whatever ticket is I want, pay cash for it, and forget the card. But I want to point out to you that there's more to it than just these consumer credit contract clauses. There are all kinds of little subliminal messages in here that are designed to cunningly coerce you into waiving your rights. Cunningly designed by lawyers and psychologists and psychiatrists to get you to sign this contract. because this contract is a piece of property that is going to belong to the American Express Company, and they're going to use that contract to make money. They're going to make some big money off of you. They want to make money off of me. All right, they go on to say business benefits. The card has no preset spending limit, giving you the flexibility to buy what your business needs. Now, they start you off with $5,000. So I'm only going to have a $5,000 credit limit, but as time progresses along, they'll raise that to 10, 15, 20, 25, 50. They'll give me a higher limit based upon their experience with me and based upon my point average in my credit history, which is of no value to these guys, because if I signed this and sent it in, they wouldn't give me the credit anyway because I don't have any credit history. No credit history. Since 1978, I've never used credit. I don't have any credit history, so therefore they can't issue it. Furthermore, we're going to find out as we go down the list over here of items over here, they've got to have my birth date and Social Security number. I don't have a Social Security number, and I wouldn't give them my birth date, because birth dates are the practice of witchcraft, and Social Security numbers is the practice of a guardian ward relationship. So I'm not a ward of the state, and I don't practice witchcraft. And unless I practice witchcraft as a ward of the state, I can't have credit anyway. Now, isn't that just special? All right, now let's take a look at more business benefits. You can receive substantial discounts on business expenses at FedEx, Hertz, Staples, and more just by using the card. No strings attached. You know, I can get a 5% discount at FedEx, Hertz, and Staples by simply making a purchase and telling them I'm going to pay you in cash. I don't use the credit card, and you'll save 5%, so give me that 5%. Staples will give me 1% and tell the story. We were in Office Depot, or one of them Staples Office Depot, you know, whatever you call it, one of those big multinational stores, you know, that sell office supply. And the bill was about, I think it was $500. And I was standing there like a bull chewing his cud watching my wife make this purchase. See, we'd had some printing done. And the bill was about 500 Federal Reserve note dollars over here, a little over. And the girl handed my wife one of these pieces of paper, an application. First of all, she said, ma'am, do you have an Office Depot membership card, I think it was. And my wife looked at her and said no, and she kept digging in her purse, you know, pulling out Benji's. And as she was digging in her purse, the girl handed her this application and said, here, just sign this, and we'll give you your discount today. So my wife pushed the application back across the counter and said, no, thank you. And she kept digging in her purse. And I'm standing over here, you know, chewing my cud and watching the wife here. I wonder what she's going to do next. So the girl pushed the contract back across the counter, and she said, but you'll get your discount, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was 1% or 2%. Now, 1% of $500 is $5, and 2% would be $10. So she's offering her a $5 discount on this $500 purchase, maybe even a $10 discount, I don't remember exactly. And so my wife now, kind of ticked off, looked at this girl kind of with a caustic, sarcastic tone in her voice, and she said, young woman, do you believe for a moment that I would trade my privacy for $5? And then she went back to digging around in her purse until she came up with the money. Now, the girl behind the counter, you know, the checker, the cashier, she was shocked. She could see that my wife was distressed, bummed out, ticked off. And so she apologized. And she said it's company policy. So my wife paid her the $500, and when I picked up the box, you know, I'm the guy that picks up the heavy load and carries it out. And which is exactly correct. Now, here's what happens. When you fill these things out and you give this information to Home Depot, they give that information, put it on a big mailing list, you know, and then they use that as a mailing list for their own promotions, but they also use that to sell. They sell those mailing lists. A mailing list is worth a lot of money. Have you ever wondered why you get all this junk mail? You didn't ask for this junk mail. Every time you go to the post office, your box is stuffed full of circulars and flyers from every company in town that's trying to sell you this, that, and another thing. And you've never been to any of these stores. You've never traded with any of these people, and yet they've got your name, address, and telephone number, and they're sending you circulars and flyers. Now, I encourage that in my mailbox because I use it for fire starter. You see, I don't have a thermostat on my wall. I don't have natural gas or propane. I heat with wood. I've got a wood stove. And I have to build a fire in my wood stove every day. And I have to have a lot of paper every year as fire starter to start my fires. So through the year, I collect all of those circulars and brochures and all the stuff that comes like this piece of paper here that came in from American Express. This is fire starter. And I put these and I wad them up. And I put them into my Raisin Bran box. And then when I need a fire starter, I reach over, I pick up the Raisin Bran box, which is filled and stuffed full of advertisement and brochures and pieces of paper that came in the mail. And I stick that in, strike a match, and I start my fire. I get it all free. In fact, it's sent to me from all over America, free of charge. Comes right in my mailbox, all my fire starter. Now I got one more in here. It says, fee free for your first year. The benefits of the Business Green Rewards cards adds up to a unique business value. Now all you have to do to apply for a year of fee free, that's in all caps, membership, a savings of $95, is return the brief form attached or call, and they got their telephone number in all caps, and mention RSVP. VP, very valuable person, to apply by phone for express approval. Sincerely, Susan Sabat. Thank you, Susan, for sending me this invitation. It says, P.S., 5,000 bonus points are offered only if you reply to this offer by November 29th, 2005. So don't wait to apply for your Business Green Rewards card. It says, in effect, hurry, 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 step right up. Don't be the last person on your block to miss out on these once-in-a-lifetime values, never before and never again. Values like these. Everything goes floor to ceiling, wall to wall, regardless of cost, loss, or value. I mean, that's just hype. Hype is what that is. And it says, there's a cutoff date. This is only available until November the 29th. If you send this in and it's postmarked after midnight, November the 29th, you lose. You don't get this fee-free card. Okay. I think I'll wait until November the 30th and send this in and see what they do. I bet you if they were going to issue it, they'd issued it to me, whether it was on November 29th or December the 29th, or March of next year. They're looking for customers, boys and girls. This is a sale. This is a tender offer. They want to sell me this. That's what it boils down to. I'm the customer, and they're trying to get me to buy this program. Always remember that. And these people aren't making this offer to me because there's no money involved or because they're just real concerned about poor old George over here and whether or not he's going to have enough fire starter for the rest of the winter. They're concerned about American Express. They're not concerned about George Gordon. Now it says, request your American Express Business Green Rewards card today and earn 5,000 membership rewards bonus points. See the reverse side of the letter for fee and other important information. Woohoo! Now on the back side is where we have the fine print where you're going to need your 10-point or your 10-power lens. So remember this. See reverse side of the letter for free and other important information. By signing below, I agree to the terms and conditions enclosed in this offer. Let me underline that. By signing below, I agree to the terms and conditions that are enclosed in this offer. Now, most people are going to read this side of the page, because it's in big bold letters. Open for business. American Express. Susan Sabbat. Request your American Express Business Green Rewards card today. Give your employees the advantage of the Business Green. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if I was a blind man, I would be able to read this because it's in great big bold caps. I'm going to turn the page over. As I turn the page over here, oh my God. Now, I'm an old man, but I don't wear glasses. I got 20/20 vision, and I can read everything back here if I put my mind to it, and I squint one eye a little bit, I can actually read this. So it's not as bad as some fine print on some contracts. I have seen contracts, ladies and gentlemen, that have fine print that is so fine that with 20/20 vision, I can't read it. I have to get glasses. So I have my trusty 10-power loop magnifying lenses onto my head at this moment, and I pull them down before my eyes so that I can read this contract. And when we come back from our break, I'm going to read you this contract. And when we get through, if you say to me, yes, I would sign that contract, I am going to say to you, you, my friend, are a moron. All right, now you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. And that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archive. And that can be accessed through the website georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. But the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the American Express tender offer. This is an application for membership. This is a business card. They're offering me a $5,000 line of credit. And I want you to know that they're not offering me $5,000 in the way of a loan. They're not saying to me, Mr. Gordon, if you'll sign this, we will write you a check for $5,000 and you can go out and spend it anywhere you want. Or that we're going to loan you $5,000 of our money. They're going to create $5,000 worth of credit. Now, what this means is that I'm going to take this card out to a merchant and I'm going to spend $5,000. I'm going to inflate the money supply in this country by $5,000. And then I'm going to have to pay these people back $5,000 plus interest. Plus interest. So they're going to give me $5,000 worth of credit, and I'm going to go out and work, and they're going to collect that $5,000 or the interest off of that $5,000. That's what their motivation is. They want that interest. And that interest, they're willing to waive the $95 membership fee so that they can get the interest. And let's see what $5,000 would produce. 5,000 times 2.43% is 12,150. Nope, I'm going to get some more decimals in here. 5,000 point times 0.2436. $1,230 is what that's going to end up being. Interest. You see, 2.43% interest per month times 12 months equals $1,230 a year interest. Now, how much money are they going to lend me? Not a dime. American Express isn't going to give me any money. There's no money out of their pocket. They're going to create $5,000 worth of credit under the franchise granted to them through the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Inflate the total overall money supply of the nation by $5,000, and they're going to collect $1,230 a year from me. They're going to take $1,200 out of my labor every year by giving me this $5,000 worth of credit. Not money, credit. Then I can go out and cause more inflation along with you and everybody else. Now, in the card, it says, by signing now, I agree to the terms and conditions enclosed in this offer. And they want me, and it says right here at the top of this little card, it says, tell us about yourself. Isn't that sweet? Tell us about yourself. What that translates to is, waive your Fourth Amendment rights, Mr. Gordon, and tell us this personal information, such as your name, Social Security number, your home street address, city, state, zip, home phone, and your birth date. Well, now, my birth date's kind of personal. I don't have a Social Security number, but even if I did, would I want to just give it out to somebody? I mean, isn't this the basis of identity theft? Now, nobody has stolen my identity, and that's because my identity isn't worth anything. I don't have any credit. People who don't have any credit will never have their identity stolen. And why is that? Because it isn't worth anything. So I'm not concerned about identity theft. Doesn't affect me at all. But I don't want to give people my home address. And I don't want to give you my phone number. I don't want to give you my date of birth. And I don't want to give you my Social Security number. Now, do you want to give me $5,000 in credit? And they're going to tell me, no, we don't want to give you $5,000 in credit unless you're willing to give us this personal information that's protected by the Fourth Amendment. You have to waive your Fourth Amendment rights, Mr. Gordon, if you want this $5,000 worth of credit. Okay. Well, I don't want to waive my Fourth Amendment rights, boys and girls. My rights are more valuable to me than money. You cannot buy from me my constitutional rights. They're not for sale. Now, they want to know about my business. They want to know my company business name, the company business phone, email address, although they put down that's optional, tax ID number, how many years have I been in business, whether my business is a farm, nonprofit, or other type of business. They want my company street address. Now, if I fill out these two blanks and send it in, it's the prima facie evidence. This is evidence that can be used against me in a court of law. Now, remember I told you I operate a private business? The minute I fill this out, it's the prima facie evidence that I'm engaged in a public business and that I'm holding myself out to the public for business. And I'm telling you plainly, this law school is not open to the public. This is not a public business. Now, if I engage in commercial business, if I go out here and affect trade, commerce, business, and industry affecting a public interest, I can be regulated and controlled under the Commerce Clause. There's no freedom in regulation and control. I mean, you can be free in America. Our Constitution guarantees it. But you don't have to be free. You can waive your freedoms. You can give up your freedoms and your constitutional rights. You can surrender those rights to American Express if you'd like to. It's an offer. It's not compulsion. Nobody is saying to me, Mr. Gordon, we're going to take away from you your Fourth Amendment rights. They're offering me $5,000 to give up my Fourth Amendment rights. Well, therefore, my Fourth Amendment rights must be worth at least $5,000. American Express believes it, and they're willing to give me $5,000 worth of credit, not cash, credit, if I will surrender my Fourth Amendment rights. Also, I have to give up my First and my Fifth Amendment rights along with it, but that's a collateral matter. And I'm sitting here saying, no, I don't think I want to do that. That would subject me to the income tax. Gosh, that income tax could cost me more than the $5,000. Why would I want to take $5,000 worth of credit, subject myself to the income tax, which could cost me $10,000 or $15,000? And why would I want to do business in commercial paper instead of doing business in just weights and balances, which is gold and silver coin? Why should I give up gold and silver coin for commercial paper? I mean, that's what they're offering, man. I'm sitting here saying, well, you know, do I want to do that? Well, I'm not so sure. Well, let me pull my glasses down. I turned the page over. Turn my glasses down. Here's your annual fee. The annual fee of $95 for your basic card is waived for the first year of your membership. The annual fee of $40 per additional card is waived for up to 9 additional cards added during the first year of your membership. Okay, so for the first year, I can get 9 cards. And I don't have to pay anything for them, and I don't have to pay anything for that first card. But now the second year, I got to pay $95 plus $40 for each additional card that they waived for the first year. Okay, so what's that going to cost me? So starting next year at this time, I got to pay $90 plus 9 times 40, which is $360 plus, what was it, $95? Oh, yeah, it was $355 is what I got to write a check for next year. Now, it varies from state to state, from zero to the greater of $30, or 2.99% of the delinquent balance. Now, that's called your late payment fees. Now, remember that one of our Do You Speak Credit clauses was called the late payment fee. This is 2.99% of the delinquent balance. All right. Let's suppose that I max this card out to $5,000, which is what they're gambling on that I'm going to do, and that's what most people do. So I'll max this card out to $5,000, and then my payments will be times 0.04% or $200 a month. Now, if I miss one of my payments, which I'm going to do on average twice a year, or I'm going to be late, I won't miss the payment, but I'm going to be late twice during the year, they're going to charge me $200 times 0.299, and they're going to charge me $5.98. Now take that $5.98, and we're going to do that twice during the year, so it's going to be $12 in late payment fees. Now the amount of money that I'm late on is going to be $400. It isn't that I'm not going to pay them the $400. They're going to get the $400. But they're going to charge me $12 for being late two times during the year. So that $12 for $400 is what percent interest? $12 out of $400. So let's just take that $400, or take 12 divided by $400. And it is 3%. So they're going to charge me 3% of the $400. That's $12. But I didn't get to borrow $400 for a year. I only got the $400 for maybe a week or two. So it's 3%. And let's suppose that I was late 30 days. Okay? 30 days. So I get the 3% loan for 30 days. That's 1/12 of a year. 1/12 of a year. So multiply that 3% times 12. That's 36% interest. The late fee agreement box up here says, we're going to charge you 36% interest, Mr. Gordon, if you're late on your payments. That's the percent rate that they're charging for late fees. but they say it's 2.99%. Notice that this is late payment fees as in big bold caps, but then the actual statement is in fine print. Okay, so you got 36% interest on your late fees. All charges made on this charge card are due and payable when you receive your billing statement. Okay, now that's important. They're due and payable when you receive your billing statement, but they don't have to send you your billing statement before the late fee occurs. This is a very common practice. So they set up your account, and let's suppose that your account is due and payable on the 5th. So they mail you your statement on the 3rd. You receive your statement on the 5th, and it's due and payable on the 5th, and if you come in on the 6th, you got the late payment, 36% due. Now, that's a common trick that's used all the time. Does American Express do that? I don't know. I've never had an American Express card. But bank credit cards have been brought in before attorney generals many, many times, and they've always been exonerated. There's nothing illegal about this, which means that you have to know what your balance is and when your balance is due and then send your payment in before you get a statement. You people don't do that. You wait until you get the statement. And they don't send you the statement. Now, they don't do this all the time. They send you the statement out on the 1st. It's due on the 5th. And by the time you get in there to pay it, you pay it on the 6th or the 8th. And you only have to pay them $5.98 each time that you're late on your $200 payment. And you're not smart enough to figure out the interest percentage rate on $5.98 on a $200 payment multiplied times 12 for the amount of money that you've had in your possession for 30 days during a calendar year, which is 36% interest is what they're actually charging you and millions of people like you. So you take, American Express has a million cards out there, and out of a million cards, one-tenth of those will be delinquent at any given time. In fact, it's 4.98% It's right at 5% of Americans are delinquent on their cards right now. In fact, I'm going to give you a little number here. Listen to this. It just came off of International Forecaster. It's cardweb.com. It says the average household credit card balance, $9,250. That's up from $8,940 in 2002. So you're pushing $10,000, boys and girls. Total outstanding debt is $797.97 billion. That's $800 billion. That's up from half that, $443 billion in 1995. So it's doubled in 10 years. Under the new payment rules, higher-risk customers will pay Citibank interest rates of 29% a year or 2.42% a month. For a $10,000 balance, that would be a payment of $208 a month, but the cardholder would accrue $242 a month in interest, allowing the debt to grow by $34, even after paying the minimum payment. That's an increased payment of 64%. Minimum payments will vary from customer to customer. A credit card holder who pays 10% interest and has $10,000 in debt would accrue $83 a month in interest charges. Now add on 1% of the principal, or $100, and the minimum payment is $183. That is less than the $200 or 2% of the balance that the credit card companies demanded under the old rules. So remember, they came up with these new rules. The new rules mean that you can actually make your minimum payment and go further in debt every month. Now remember, I told you the magic date, it was October the 17th when these new rules go into effect. Boys and girls, this is screw you with a tattoo. Remember the old adage said you're screwed, blued, and tattooed? Well, here it comes. Bend over and get the Vaseline out, boys and girls. About 42% of all U.S. credit card holders pay off their balances in full every month. I am amazed that it's that high. 42%. I would have thought 4.2% of all of U.S. credit card holders, and I may be right. Chapman may have forgot to put the decimal point in there. He says 42% of all U.S. credit card holders pay off their balances in full every month. 33% always pay more than the minimum, and 15% don't use their cards at all. It is the remaining 10% that the lenders are worried about, roughly 4% or 7 million people. If payments under the new rules cannot be made, and you go into Chapter 7 bankruptcy and reorganization, and you pay your creditors for 5 years, if you make below a certain amount, you can still file Chapter 11 and discharge the debt. All right, so there's your story on credit cards over here. Maybe it is. Maybe 42% of people do pay their credit card debt off every month, but that's not what they're aiming for. They're aiming for you to be making your minimum payments, and that's what the credit card companies are in business for. They're in business to make money off of the usury and interest. Then there's a Patriot Act notice. Federal law requires all financial institutions to obtain, verify, and to record information that identifies each person who opens an account, including your name, address, date of birth, and other information that will allow us to verify your identity. And by signing or returning this application, I, as the authorizing officer designated herein and the company, request that you open an account in the name of the company, request that the cards be issued on that account as indicated on this application and other applications, and understand that you will renew and replace the cards until I cancel, agree to be liable for all charges to the card account made by all cards issued on the account now or in the future, and agree to be bound by the agreement governing the account and represent that the cards will be used for commercial or business purposes. I am guaranteeing, I am testifying, there's nothing private about this. I am using these for commercial or business purposes, which brings it under Article 1, Section 8 of the Federal Constitution. There's nothing private about this. And so this Patriot Act notice up here is telling you plainly, everything that you do here is going to be scrutinized by the government. I mean, you couldn't tell that much to a Catholic priest at the confession on Thursday night, boys and girls. Everything that you do on this account over here is going to be open to the government under the Patriot Act and under the specific provisions. And this is in bold type. I mean, you don't need your glasses to read, represent that the cards will be used for commercial or business purposes. Boy, that eliminates private business right there. That eliminates little Georgie Gordon. I can't have one of these cards. I don't do commercial business. Then they go on to tell me, I understand that the agreement governing the account includes an arbitration provision which impacts my opportunity to have claims related to the account heard in court or resolved by a jury and to participate in class action or similar proceeding. I'm going to waive my right to a jury trial. I'm going to waive my right to sue American Express, even if I've got a claim against them. I'm submitting to arbitration. So I have no constitutional rights to equal protection or due process if I have a complaint against American Express. But under the terms of the contract, if they have a bitch with me, they can sue me anytime they want. Let me ask you this, boys and girls. Why don't you sign a contract with George Gordon? Why don't you come here to my law school? Let me write the contract. And you agree that I have the right to sue you for non-payment, but you don't have the right to sue me if I don't deliver the goods that I'm promising you. Remember I said anybody that would sign this would have to be a moron. You'd have to be so far out of touch with reality that you wouldn't know which end was up. Now, I don't blame the American Express people for writing a contract like this. They go on to tell me here that I understand that the agreement governing the account also provides, among other things, that the account terms such as fees are subject to change. Subject to change. Okay, so I can change the terms of the contract anytime I want, but you can't. Want to sign that contract with me? Now they go on to tell me here, I understand that I must provide all of the information requested in this application, and I certify that such information is accurate, and I authorize you to verify the information on this application and to receive and to exchange information about me, including requesting reports from consumer reporting agencies. If I ask whether or not a consumer report was requested, and you tell me, and if you received a report, you will give me the name and address of the agency that furnished it. I authorize you and your affiliates and subsidiaries to contact these sources for information at any time, to use information about me for marketing and administrative purposes, send me all the junk mail you want and sell the mailing list to anybody you want, and to share this information about me with others unless I direct you not to share with your affiliates and subsidiaries certain credit information other than transaction or experience information, which I can't object to, about me or any additional card applicants by writing to you at American Express. So if I want any privacy at all, I've got to tell you in writing. I have to send it to you at your address. That's American Express. And if I don't do that, anything that you find out about me from any source whatsoever, you can disseminate to anybody, and you can use that information in any way that you want. I am going to waive any semblance of my Fourth Amendment rights to privacy. Now, Americans are complaining about government and business intruding into their privacy. Boys and girls, nobody is intruding into your privacy. You are throwing it away with both hands. That's what's happening. You're throwing your privacy away with both hands by signing these kinds of agreements. Every credit card that you have, you signed an agreement like this. Every commercial contract that you've signed. And you do this when you get business licenses and sales tax permits and exemptions and permits for this and that and licenses to get married and licenses to drive your car and all of these licenses and permits that you're signing with these foreign and alien gods in violation of the law of Moses. You are throwing your constitutionally protected rights away with both hands as fast as you can and then bitching and complaining about the damn Jews charging you interest and the damn government keeping records and files on you. Nobody's keeping records and files on me. I'm not complaining about my privacy. Of course, I'm not gonna make this agreement with American Express. I'm gonna withhold my hand from this wonderful tender offer sent to me by Susan Sobot, S-O-B-B-O-T-T. Thank you, Susan, for sending me the offer. I'm gonna decline. I'm gonna decline because I don't wanna sign up for Social Security. I don't wanna practice witchcraft. I don't want to become a ward of the state. I don't want to add to the inflation rate of the United States. I don't want to steal from people. I don't want to be a ward of American Express. I don't want to be a ward of the United States government. I want to be a common law free man. I want to exercise my constitutional rights. I want to be a member of society who produces and pays his own way. It's a wild new concept in life, but I just thought I'd share it with you. And then they go on to tell us a little bit more here about the following isn't eligible and one thing and another. There's some more important things, but I just wanted to hit the highlights of what happens to you when you sign up for these wonderful offers. And more than likely, you have several of these offers already bound up and you're carrying them around in your back pocket. You might want to consider getting rid of them. That's another wild concept. Get rid of the liability. And that's what these credit cards are. They're a liability. And they cost you, and they come right out front, and they tell you, we're going to charge you an interest rate, but they don't tell you in the agreement what the interest rate is. They just tell you that we can change it from time to time. Sign the contract, and we'll let you know what the interest rate is. Isn't that just real special? Sign here, and we'll let you know what the interest rate's going to be. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archive on it. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, history, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. All right, we're out of time. We'll have to see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and good night, friends.